Right now, two pieces of state news to talk about. One, Governor Scott Walker submitted a plan to drug test able-bodied recipients of the state's food assistance program called Food Share. And then there's some breaking news this afternoon about an investigation into leaks in a John Doe probe. Jason Stein is with us to talk about both these things. He's a state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. Jason, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be on the program.
We'll get to that food share story in just a minute, but some news that I didn't know was coming. Maybe other people did. About 2:30, I think it was, we saw results. I haven't looked at them myself. I've just been seeing tweets summing them up, Jason, into this a probe of a leak. Can you talk about what was being investigated here?
Sure. A couple years back, the Guardian newspaper received a leak of information related to the John Doe investigation into Governor Scott Walker's campaign that was ultimately halted by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And, you know, information then later came out from within that investigation. Attorney General Brad Schimmel ended up conducting an investigation into who had leaked that information, whether it was a crime, and the results came out today.
And what were some of the highlights of this? I know there's probably a lot there, and people are still digging through it, but what did we see in broad strokes so far?
Well, the 90-page report basically stated that investigators concluded that it was a crime when this information got leaked and that they will never be able to prove who did it, basically because the evidence from the investigation was not very well secure. So a lot of people either had access to it or potentially had access to it. But the Attorney General is seeking some sort of non-criminal penalties for some people involved in the investigation conducting it for what he views as a violation of a judge's order to stop examining certain evidence that they had collected from Republican targets.
And then there's some people have summed this up as there was John Doe 1 and John Doe 2, the first one about largely Governor Walker's campaign, John Doe 2 about supposed coordination between that campaign and separate groups. People are saying there's a John Doe 3. What do they mean by that?
Okay, so one clarification. I would say John Doe 1, it involved various misconduct by employees of Milwaukee County at a time when the governor was
the
elected county executive of Milwaukee. DOJ is basically saying that, is basically showing, I think, and demonstrating that these John Doe investigations were extremely broad and got a lot of information about Republicans in the state. And they're arguing that part of this investigation sort of amounts to a third investigation into a third John Doe investigation into Republicans. But the DOJ report doesn't really clearly state, if there was a third investigation, what crime exactly it was investigating. I mean, I think, you know, what is clear though is that the investigations that were there were pretty broad.
And the agency, as we wrap up this topic, the agency being investigated, the Government Accountability Board, doesn't exist anymore.
Correct. The recommendations are that either criminal contempt or, in one case, lawyer ethics sanctions should be brought against various current and former employees of the GAB and the Ethics and Elections Commission that the GAB was converted into.
And Jason, are we going to be seeing, I imagine we're going to see a lot of people reacting to this over the next couple of days. Are we seeing reaction from conservative or liberal groups, politicians, people maybe who are targets of this probe?
Sure. We've already seen, you know, some Republicans coming out saying, you know, that this is terrible and that they feel that the John Doe was a fishing expedition. So far, we have not gotten any reaction from the people that are Schimmel is seeking sanctions on. It's worth noting that the prosecutors were under a secrecy order. The whole thing was under a secrecy order, and the violation of that secrecy order is why we have this investigation in the first place. And so you know, they're understandably reticent to talk about it right now because, you know, arguably they're still bound by that secrecy order.
We're talking to Jason Stein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're going to switch topics to our originally planned conversation, looking at Governor Walker's plan to drug test some recipients of food assistance in Wisconsin. By the way, you can join in with your thoughts on that plan at 800-642-1234. Do you think it's a good idea to administer drug tests to some food share recipients? Are you looking for a legal challenge? Have you received food share? What do you think of this idea? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Jason Stein is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're going to talk now about Governor Walker's plan to drug test able-bodied recipients of food share. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Good idea, bad idea. Have you received food share yourself now or at some point? What do you think? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Jason, flesh this out a little bit for us. What are the details of this proposal?
Well, first of all, you get to see what a varied plate we have here at the state capitol, from drug testing food stamp recipients to leak investigations.
Yeah.
So in this case, you know, the governor has a couple different proposals to drug test recipients of public benefits. And in this case, it involves able-bodied recipients of food stamps. It's a program that is now known as Food Share in Wisconsin and SNAP nationally. And, you know, initially the governor had sought some go-ahead from the Trump administration for this to make it clear that the state had the authority to do this. But, you know, ultimately that hasn't happened yet from the Trump administration, and the Walker administration said they felt they had the authority to move forward without that.
Right, and you write that the Obama administration had not been warm on this idea. They were going to maybe block that. Is that right?
Correct. And since the governor, you know, moved forward with this a few days ago, we have seen the Trump administration issue some guidance to states on SNAP programs, suggesting that they want to emphasize flexibility for states and the integrity of the programs against fraud. So, you know, reading between the lines a little bit, it might suggest that the Trump administration would look favorably on this action, or at least might be less inclined to stop it than the Obama administration had seemed.
And the Walker administration is saying this isn't a matter of you failed a drug test, you're off of food share, right? There's a next step there.
Yeah, there's more to it than that. So essentially, someone to lose or not receive food stamp benefits would have to be screened, be chosen to have a drug test, and then either refuse to take the drug test or take it, test positive, and then refuse treatment, or, you know, accept the treatment but not follow through with it. So essentially, if you were someone that tested positive but was willing to comply with the drug testing the treatment that the state would provide, then you would presumably still get your benefits.
Let's get a reaction from a caller now at 800-642-1234. David is on the line in Milwaukee. David, hi.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I certainly support the measure if the testing will detect opioids and prescription medications whereby the recipient of food share doesn't have a prescription, meaning we are in the death throes of an opioid addiction in Wisconsin, and everyone, even small children who watch television, know that enabling someone who's addicted to drugs is a non-starter.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call, David. And Jason, I know the governor has talked about this as a workforce issue, making people can pass a workplace drug test. Has he rolled in the concerns about the opioid epidemic into selling this idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair that the governor and Republicans have talked about that as you know, one of the reasons why this is a beneficial thing. I mean, I think the main thing they've said in arguing for this is that there aren't enough workers who can pass the drug test, and this is going to help with that. In terms of illicit versus prescription drugs, I think this is primarily targeted at illicit drugs.
And what have we been hearing from people who work on hunger issues about their thoughts on this idea?
Well, they feel that it's illegal. They feel that it's not allowed under federal law, and that it will be expensive, and that it will have very little practical impact, because most people won't be tested, and most of the people that will be tested will not test positive. I think it's worth noting that I believe the Walker administration estimated that they would have 224 people test positive in the first year, I believe is the number that they came up with. So, you know, again, while at least a couple thousand people might have to take drug tests, the practical impact of this may be much smaller than the rhetoric over it on both sides.
I'll go to another caller. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Yeah, I know you guys are talking back and forth about the efficacy of this program, but let's face it, most of the states who have done things similar to this have found it to be practically worthless, and we are neglecting the fact that we're talking about constitutional rights here. We're talking about search. We're talking about being presumed guilty until proven innocent, and I'm always amazed when Republicans want to throw their Constitution underneath the bus when they profess to love it so much.
Tom, thanks for the call. And Jason, you were mentioning just a few moments ago that there were constitutional objections. Is this going to end up in the courts, do you think?
I think very likely, yes. If the administration does move forward, then it will end up in the federal courts. And I think one of the arguments will be that it, you know, constitutes an illegal, improper search by the government. You know, the argument, I think, on the other side, the other side is going to make, the supporters of this will make the argument that there's a difference between asking someone to submit to a search in exchange for a benefit as opposed to, you know, the government searching your home or office when you had not been asking the government for anything in the first place. So, you know, those will be some of the legal arguments that will play out, and I think it's very likely that we'll get to eventually see a court's ruling on this.
And briefly, Jason, courts aside, what's the governor's goal for a timeline?
It's still a ways off. There's 120 days, I believe, for the legislature to object to this rule. If they do not object to it, then it would go into place, but even then, it would not be immediately implemented. I think it's at least a year before, you know, the administration attempts to, you know, drug test someone, and I think, you know, we could very well end up in court before, you know, that actual testing ever happens. So it could be some time before, you know, someone that is seeking food stamp benefits actually gives a drug sample.
Jason, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Jason Stein, State Capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We were talking there about the idea of drug testing able-bodied recipients of the state's food assistance program. You can support conversations like this one and many, many more with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.